Today is a very special day for Dale and Lou Ann Klein. This is their last day with us for a while because they're moving to Tennessee. And I heard one of our members saying to them in Sunday school that, you know, it could be the Lord will bring them back. He's been known to do that. At any rate, they're in the back, and perhaps you could pause in the foyer for a bit for folks that would like to greet you and say goodbye to you. They're very special people. We love them. Thank God that he gave us their time for the time that he did. We're going to begin reading some very familiar scriptures, so I would invite you to turn to John chapter 13. We'll be reading some scriptures that are familiar to us, and then we'll be talking about them. John 13, verse 34 and 35. John 13, 34, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. John 15 and verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, than someone lay down his life for his friends. And verse 17. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. Colossians chapter 3. The book of Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And above all these things, put on love, which binds everyone together in perfect harmony. 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. And verse 8. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. 1 John chapter 3, verse 11. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Verse 23. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. Chapter 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Verse 10. In this is love, not that we loved God, that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. The scripture leaves no room for doubt or misunderstanding or confusion. God's will is that we love one another. Such repetition, and we read those verses for you to sense the repetition. We didn't read all the verses on that subject, but the ones we did read, such repetition says to us, this is very important to God. In those few verses, for him to command us to love one another, says to us, this is very important to God. And such repetition also says, this ought to be very important to us as well. Two times in those verses that we read, the scripture said, above all, to love one another. That's quite the priority. Above all, love one another. And this repetition also says, it seems that God has trouble getting us to obey that. He says it over and over and over and over because we don't listen too well. So this is very important to God. It ought to be important to us, but we have trouble doing it. Love is an emotion in which we deeply care for others, resulting in the giving of ourselves for them. So how much should we give for each other? Josh should be able to answer that question because he read it. Hereby perceive we God's love because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. That's a little farther than I had in mind. As a matter of fact, no one of us have ever done that. How do I know? Well, you're here. I wonder if we'll ever come to the place where we would be willing to do that, to lay down our lives for our brothers. Now, down through the years, I have known many believers that I loved in the Lord. My problem is I've also known some that I couldn't say I loved. They were hard to love. They weren't lovable. Some were hard to get along with. Some were unforgiving. You know anybody like that? You offend them and they never get over it. Some were bossy. Some always had to have their own way. Some were selfish. Some were unkind. Some were just so critical, so fault-finding. Some were just very touchy. And worst of all, some of them didn't love me. So, what am I to do? God commands me to love other believers. But frankly, some of them are not very lovable. That's people, of course, in other churches in the past. Some seemed impossible to love. Oh, I've got it. I have a solution. I can pray. Lord, change them. Make them lovable, and then I'll love them. Straighten them out so I can love them. That's it. Why didn't I think of that before? So, while we're waiting for God to straighten everybody else out, let's look at the Greek words in the New Testament for love. I'm sure you have heard before that there are two of them, phileo and agape. Both are translated love, and they both are love, but they don't have the same meaning. Phileo love is based on the good qualities or attractiveness of the other person. It may be his good looks, his pleasing personality, his honorable characteristics, but there's something about that other person that's very attractive. Did you know that most people get married because of phileo love? When you marry someone, they are attractive to you in one way or many ways. You are attractive to them in one way or many ways. You certainly don't love someone that you can't stand. So, phileo love, I love someone because they're so nice, so attractive. That's one kind of love. There's nothing wrong with that. There's a southern hymn that ends with this. Love may be blind, but search till you find a face you can stand every day. That's phileo love. That other person is attractive. I love ice cream because ice cream is very attractive to my taste buds. So I love its qualities. And that's why I have always loved certain Christians. They were so nice. They were so easy to love. I just love lovable people, don't you? Well, again, that's phileo love. Agape love is different. Agape love is based upon having a loving heart that loves irrespective of the attractiveness or the repulsiveness of the other person. Agape love loves even the unlovable. So, phileo love loves if the other person is lovable. Agape love loves whether the other person is lovable or not. For agape love proceeds from a loving heart. John 3:16 tells us that God so loved the world. He still does. Does God love the world because it is so attractive to him? Because it is so lovable? That would be phileo love. Or does God love the world because God has such a loving heart? You know that answer. John 3:16, for God so agape the world. Not because of them, but because of his heart. Some of you may be familiar with the old hymn, Why Should He Love Me So? That's an old gospel hymn that asks, but never answers the question, why should he love me so? Well, here's the answer to that question. He loves me so because God is love. God has a loving heart. That's why he should love me so. I thank God daily that he loves me. But when I do that, I remind myself that he doesn't love me any more than he does anyone else. And he does not love me because of anything good or special or attractive or lovable in me. He even loves me in spite of the evil that is in me. The one and only reason that God loves me is because of the great love that resides in God's own heart. But I thank him that he loves me because of that love. Now, when God commands us to love one another, which word does he use? Phileo or agape? Are we to love one another because we find each other so lovable? Or are we to love one another because we have loving, caring hearts? You're right, the word is agape. Love proceeding from a caring heart that loves irrespective of the attractiveness or the repulsiveness of the other person. All of the verses that we read earlier talking about loving one another, every single one of those verses use the word agape love. That's the way God wants us to love each other, and that's the way God loves us. Now, what that means is this. If I do not love thorny believers, the fault is not their thorny hearts, but my unloving heart. The fault is not their peculiar ways, but my hard heart. It's not their fault, it's mine. So it will do me no good to pray, Lord, change them. Maybe I should pray, Lord, change me. Maybe not. What would the Lord do if I asked him to give me a loving heart? Would he put some kind of spiritual paddles on my chest and zap me, infusing love into me? I don't think so. Well, what would he do? Should he do anything? You know what? God has already done something. He has already done something about our unloving hearts. Do you remember what it is? This is what God has already done. He has commanded us, love one another as I have loved you. That's doing something, isn't it? He's commanded us. In the few verses that we read, he commanded us 5 times to love one another. In other words, God has placed the responsibility for loving one another in our hands. It is no longer God's responsibility. It is ours. By the way, that's a good thing to remember every time you read a command of God in the Scriptures for us. I think of one immediately that comes to mind. Being in the process of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Abbreviatedly translated, be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's a command. God says to believers, you do this. Every time God gives a command, it is no longer his responsibility, it is ours. So to ask God to change thorny believers is an inappropriate prayer. And to ask God to change us that we might be more loving is an inappropriate prayer. God has already said, you do this. And so I say, Lord, you do this. And he says, no, I've told you to do it. What we need to do is accept the responsibility for a change in our hearts. Accept the task that God has commanded us to do. Okay, how do we do that? How do we work in our own lives that we might have loving hearts, that we love others irresponsive of whether they are lovable or unlovable? Well, folks, it's part of the growth process. That's part of what Christian growth is all about. That's the heart of the growth process. 1 Peter 3:18 tells us, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's a command too. How do we grow? We grow by denying ungodliness and worldly lusts. We grow by living consistent, godly Christian lives. We grow by looking for the blessed hope, even the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. We grow by consistently feeding our thoughts and minds with God's Word. 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the Word, that you might grow thereby. We grow by obedience to the directions of the Holy Spirit. We refer to that verse, be filled with the Spirit, or be in the process of being filled with the Spirit. We grow by doing that. We grow by submission to the Holy Spirit's control and directions in our lives. And by the way, what is the first fruit of the Spirit? The fruit of the Spirit is, number one, love. We grow in having loving hearts by being submissive to the Spirit in our lives. That helps us to grow, and that helps us to have a loving heart. So God has placed the responsibility for our developing loving hearts into our hands. So we quit praying, Lord, change them. We don't even pray, Lord, change me. That's the easy way out, of course. Lord, you do it. Well, what do we pray? We pray, Lord, help me. Help me. Help me to change myself. Help me to change my self-centered heart into a loving heart. Help me to be faithful in reading your word. Help me to be faithful in filling my mind with the things of God, and that will transform me. Help me to be obedient to you, to live a life that is holy, to deny ungodliness, to be looking for my Savior. Help me to do that. I intend to do that. I pledge to do that. I will do that. But please, Lord, help me to do so. Is that an appropriate prayer? Lord, I accept the responsibility, but I ask for your help. Is that appropriate? I believe it is. Let's get this straight today. God will not do for us what he has commanded us to do. If he was going to do it anyway, he wouldn't command us. God will not do for us what he has commanded us to do. He has commanded us to love one another. He will not do that for us. But at the same time, when it comes to spiritual things, Christ said, without me, you can do nothing. So there's the balance. I accept the responsibilities so that I will not just love lovable Christians, but will even love repulsive Christians. I accept that responsibility. I will do that. So help me, God. Please help me, God. The bottom line is that we accept the responsibility to acquire loving hearts. But we also pray, Lord, help us. Today we go home, not yet loving one another as we ought to. Agreed? But hopefully we will be in the process of growing in grace and growing in agape love one for another. We close with a hymn that is a prayer. You may not know this hymn. I hope you do, because we don't even have a pianist. We're going to have to sing it by ourselves, a cappella. I don't think the word a cappella was meant to describe the quality of the singing, just the type. But this is a prayer. It's a prayer hymn. And what does it express? It expresses love for each other. So we're going to try to sing it. Let's stand together. If you know it, sing it. If you don't know it, those words are great words. Just think about them, and apply them to your heart. Are you ready? God be with you till we meet again. By his counsels, God uphold you. With his sheep securely fold you. God be with you till we meet again. God be with you till we meet again. Neath his wings securely hide you. Daily manna still provide you. God be with you till we meet And if that is our attitude to each other, that's the attitude we ought to have. Let's bow. Our Father, we confess to you that we have all too often loved just the lovable. We thank you for telling us how we ought to love. We thank you that you will help us, but we pledge today that we will seek to be growing in the Lord in order that we will do so. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.